Blog Talk Radio.
Ray and Tay today.
Yes, Sports Radio's on, talking sports with friends, and you know we got it on, from the NFL to the NBA, MLB and college hoops do it all day, college football, we know who's number one, understand, on the phones, you know we get it done, so call in 718-664-9098 and we'll give you more, talking sports, yes we do, talking sports, it's for you, Ray and Tay, and we spit it every day, and we're talking sports, give us a call, okay?
The madness is here. You are listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. We're waiting for Ray, Tal Rayside, to join us. He should be with us any minute. How is your bracket? That's the question everybody wants to know. I think yesterday, Friday, was, you know, day two, only one higher seed or lower seed won. That was Dayton over Providence. We'll get into basically the crazy day one where the state of Texas lost. There was 5 1-point games, 2 14 seeds. This is the first year that the 12 seeds did not win. There were no upsets of the 5 seeds. So that was pretty interesting. We'll break that down, discuss it, talk about the brackets. There's one perfect bracket out of 11.5 million on ESPN remaining. And I think they have Duke as their champion. So we'll see how all that plays out. It's going to be a fun show. We're rocking with you. UCLA is getting ready to start tip-off against UAB. We've had a lot of fun on Twitter with the UAB and the Bill Walton and all of those fans from UCLA and Kentucky Nation. They've been joining us, Big Blue Nation. We had Jamal Mashburn retweet our show for Ray and Tay today. So it's been really a lot of fun in the Twitter world. So it's one of those things. Let's see where Ray is and try to get him live on the show. Where you at? We're on live. That's how you got to do it, you know? So basically, I thought that they we'll work our way backwards. Yesterday, there were some teams that, I was hoping. You got to love Dayton, right? I mean, they basically go from Dayton to Columbus, and it's like they haven't left Ohio, so Providence almost didn't have a shot. You know, they almost didn't have a chance. But you have to love some of these stories, like from the other night, Georgia State with R.J. Hunter and his father, Ron Hunter, who, you know, basically falls off the stool, and you know he's dealing with the ruptured Achilles, which Ray knows about, and his son is the best player on the team. It almost reminds you of a Seth Curry, story in terms of just how he plays and the shot and just everything. Davidson, by the way, his old team, Seth Curry, lost, but I think it was crazy.
Hello.
Oh, there is Ray. Okay.
Yeah, I've been waiting. I've been on for 10 minutes waiting. Well, sorry about that. We had technical difficulties.
We're
nationwide talking about sports, talking about college hoops today, and you asked the question, and I got to say I'm busted. My bracket busted. I mean, I still have the same national championship game, but I bet a lot of people have the same national championship game. But, yeah, the upsets, I picked upsets on Friday. They didn't happen. All the upsets really happened on Thursday. And
got
who
the wrong
is
upset,
this,
basically.
Who, yeah, exactly. Who is this cat with all 32 games right? I want to meet
ESPN,
this guy.
One person. Yeah, it's amazing. I didn't check Yahoo or CBS. I don't know what they do, but Most people do ESPN over 11.5 million, and there's one right. Going into that last game, there was six right, and then or seven right, and then only one of them obviously had Dayton. So that was really fascinating. I was talking about the story of Georgia State with R.J. Hunter, the coach's son, and we'll see if Ryan Harrell, their second leading scorer, will be able to play in tonight's game for Georgia State, who, let's be honest, has got a good chance, and I picked it in one of my brackets, to go to the Sweet 16 playing against Xavier. I got to laugh because I joked about this off air with you, but there's some people who have felt disrespected. UCLA, and we've heard about those fans on Twitter, talked to Bill Walton about it on Twitter. The Xavier coach lost his mind on national television, was like, oh, well, I don't even know. We're not supposed to be here. Should have been BYU, according to all the experts. So it's just people want their respect. But guess what, folks? Like in anything in life, you also have to earn it. And Xavier won, so kudos to them. Out of both days, and obviously we talked about Thursday being the major day of upsets, only on Friday Dayton won of the lower seeds. Which was the most shocking to you? Was it UAB? Was it Georgia State? Give me your thoughts on those two. Or which was the most shocking?
You know, I would say that both of those, three seeds going down to the 14 seeds. You know, everybody picked 5 over 12 just because we have that now ingrained in our mind that 5 over 12. Yeah, it's funny because this year it didn't happen. But I've got to say that both, you could expect one 14 seed maybe, but two of them? And you know what? We had a lot of close calls yesterday, so it would have been really interesting to see, some of these, like if Belmont had hit a one or two threes, that would have been a 15.
And what about Louisville? You could almost say Louisville got lucky.
Yeah, and Louisville should have gone down,
Did
so that would have been another.
Did you see my boy NJ at 7-6 smack the court? The big man, he went down and smacked the court for UC Irvine. That was amazing.
I saw that, and I would love to have seen him a couple more times to see, this guy is not Manu Bol. I mean, he's got a little game. He needs to stay and work on it a little bit, but that was a fun change. But credit to Louisville, though. They went at him,
They
weren't shying away from this 7-6 kid. They were just going, NJ. Is that the same NJ? Is that like Taylor or Jackson? Because either those parents have, that super DNA where they could just make a whole bunch of NBA players. Because, right, don't we have Mamadou Njai? That's the kid now, right? But there's Mokhtar Njai. We had that kid at North Carolina.
There were two that made the pros, I think.
Right. He had a brother also played in an ACC team. What was that, Virginia?
I can't remember.
But it was another ACC team. So I'm thinking the Njai's, I don't know what they're doing, but they're definitely making us some basketball players. So good for them. I mean, and this kid at 7-6, he'll be a professional. I gotta believe.
I don't see why not. I mean, you can't teach size, and it seems like even though we have the stretch fours in the NBA game, a lot of centers and post play is coming back. So. One other thing that I thought that was really fascinating, these conferences. Props to the Pac-12, 4-0. Props to the ACC, 6-0. The Big East was starting strong, and then they lost the last two, so they're 4-2. What do you think about the Big 12, 3-4? They came on strong a little bit yesterday, but for getting the most teams, they sure didn't look so impressive.
No, they didn't. And, they didn't start off strong. So when you look at it, you think 3-4 is not that bad, but they were 0-4 yesterday. So good for them for coming back. But you know what? The biggest disappointment was Iowa State. I mean, this team looked
they killed, right?
great all in over the Big 12. Yeah, this team looked great in the Big 12 tournament. Baylor also, looked solid. But I got to think, it's funny. I was out. We do this tradition of watching the game with a bunch of guys. We've been doing this for over 20 years. And it's so funny because one guy came up to our table and started talking to us, and he's a Kansas fan. So I said to him, you know, how's Kansas this year? Well, it's funny, he graduated Kansas in 1987. So I said to him, oh, man, you must have just missed it. And he said, no, well, as a matter of fact, I joined a company right after in 87 when I graduated, and they had, believe it or not, training in Kansas City in late winter. So he actually was, he could have done training, he said, in two places, and he ended up choosing Kansas City because it was, they didn't expect him to go deep in the tournament, but they ended up obviously winning it all. And he said,
yeah,
right after the game, he drove to the campus and was going crazy. So even though he wasn't a student on campus, he was 1 year removed.
Hey,
and
once you go to a school, you're always a student at heart. And that's what this is all about. And I think it's fascinating because, you know, we're down to the round of 32, and there's 32 schools where not their current, just their current students, but their alum are going crazy right now. And, you know, even I just want to get back to Louisville for a second, because one thing about the tournament, and you know I'm going to go to, is the coaches. And, you know, Blackshear saved Louisville's butt. But what I love about Patino afterwards, he was like, listen, we played bad and we've got to step it up because Northern Iowa is no joke. And we'll get into the stars of the tournament in a bit, because I think there's a lot of guys that are going to make themselves some extra money looking forward, projecting to the NBA draft. And I love Steph Tuttle. But let me ask you this. You know how I feel about two coaches in the Big Ten in particular, Bo Ryan and Tom Izzo. How do you like their next matchups and their chances, especially with Michigan State going up against a number two seed in Virginia?
You know what? Well, what did Wesley Snipes say? Always bet on black. So always bet, maybe not for the national championship, but certainly in early rounds, always bet on Izzo and always bet on Ryan.
They play so well.
Yeah, these guys are really, really, they get their teams prepared. Now, it's a slow grind, and typically these guys don't recruit the number one, you know, high school McDonald's All-American. It's not
right.
Kentucky.
They get
it's
the
not
next
Florida.
Level down.
It's not Carolina. They get the next level down. Exactly. They get the hardworking kid that is willing to buy into the program and, you know, maybe stays 3-4 years. So this game, to me, is all about Tom Izzo's ability to get in, you know, Michigan State's kids' heads and say, look, this Virginia team, they have flaws, you know. They don't score. They missed Anderson for 2-3 weeks. And they're not really running on all cylinders, so they can be taken. And you know what? We went through a Big 12 schedule that prepares us for this. So I picked them in a couple of my brackets to upset Virginia. So I like that 7 Michigan State team. Now, in terms of Wisconsin, can Oregon give him trouble? I think so.
Joseph Young, that's one of those names.
Yes, player of the year in the Pac-12. And
he got
and your boys in Arizona wanted T.J. McConnell to win that. But I think, you know, he led the conference in scoring. He was an efficient scorer. So, he deserved it. But I tell you what, Wisconsin's a tough matchup. And I don't see them going down to Oregon. But this Wisconsin team, I think Bo Ryan has something here. Frank Kaminsky came back. They've got obviously the veterans and Decker, and they've got good guard play. They can shoot. They can defend. And this is a team that's always sticks around. You don't beat Michigan. Wisconsin doesn't beat themselves, right? You got to beat them. You know, that's the thing about some of these teams. Some of these teams that shoot, like traditionally Duke. Now they have an inside-out game, right, with Okafor, and they've got a presence. But Duke is one of those teams that can win a national championship and can lose in the first round, right? They lost to Lehigh a couple years ago, and they've lost, you know, in early-round upsets. Because those teams that shoot typically can shoot themselves out of a tournament game just as easily as they can shoot themselves in. But this Wisconsin team, a lot like Virginia to some degree too, they play D, they're hard-nosed, and they're not going to be – they're not going to let – you have to beat them. They're not going to be beaten themselves.
Right. They don't turn it over a lot, and they, you know, they get to their foul line. They go inside,
right,
outside. They've got size, guard play. I think Jackson's back, Trayvon Jackson. So That's a good thing. Quick update, and let's start by going over today's games and making some picks separate from what we normally pick with our brackets. UCLA UAB is 7-5. UAB is leading. Do you like UAB's chances in this game? Or, you know, is the 14 playing the 11, or is Bryce Alford?
This game's this
the coach's
game's a toss
son
up.
Got something else. It is a toss
this
up for me.
This game's a
toss
up. Yeah, you know, UAB could win this game. What's great is that either way, you're going to have a double seed, a double-digit seed in the Sweet 16. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know who's licking their chops is Gonzaga, right? Because they should take care of Iowa, and they're thinking to themselves, wow, we get to face, you know, we get to face a 15, a 7, 11, or 14 until we have to go up and face, you know, whoever it is, probably Duke. But Gonzaga is probably drooling right now. But you know what? I'll take UAB. I mean, obviously we know a little bit of the score already.
Yeah. I'm going to go with – I was going to go UAB, but I'll go against you and go UCLA just for representing the Pac-12. And I got a special place in my heart for Steve Alford and then also him coaching his son. That's pretty good. So the next game – is the team that most people did not pick. Everybody was going with Purdue. So we've got a Bearcat against a Wildcat. I love these matchups, right, with the team names. And I just don't think Cincinnati really has a shot. Purdue had some size. Not like they were going to beat Kentucky because their size isn't so athletic. But Cincinnati, I don't know. Maybe it won't be a 20-point blowout, maybe like 15, 13, but Kentucky, I think, is going to take care of Cincinnati.
Yeah, I don't think Cincinnati puts up much of a struggle. I think they won their game in overtime. Purdue should have won that game and may have made a better matchup, but, yeah, I think Kentucky. I think it's a blowout. I think Kentucky wins by 25.
Now, as we go and projecting with some of these NBA cats, a lot of guys are paying attention to – D'Angelo Russell, who dropped 26, and he was averaging for the season like 24-4.
19 or 20.
Yeah, he's right there against Arizona. Now, this is a 10 against a 2. I got to go with Arizona. Stanley Johnson, oh, by the way, who is a man-child. That Arizona team, I can't see them losing, even though Ohio State – You like Russell and you like all their freshmen. They play with such poise. But I got Arizona, you know, maybe by 10.
Yeah, I think Russell and Thompson, and they've had some athletes in Ohio State. And I think that Russell could go on a Carmelo Anthony-like tear. I just think this is a bad matchup. Arizona's big. They've got some size. They've got, like you said, those two guys, Brandon Ashley coming back. Helps them. T.J. McConnell.
That's what they missed last year.
T.J. McConnell probably is the best, you know, sort of MVP of the Pac-12, meaning what he does for his team. You know, the senior leader from Pittsburgh, transfer from Duquesne, and the all that. So, I like Arizona in this game, but I wouldn't be surprised if D'Angelo Russell makes the game close.
Oh yeah, I totally agree with that because the kid is—he's so smooth and pure. I gotta believe he's gonna be.
And he's left-handed. You gotta love it. You gotta love the lefties.
Hey, oh god! You know this is what it really all comes down to. So now this though, 14 against 6. Now I feel Xavier's head coach, and I like their big guy inside. But you know what? I got in my bracket Georgia State going to the Sweet 16. Tay predicted it, and I'm sticking with them. Georgia State and RJ, baby. And I hope Ryan Harrell could play, but RJ Hunter will do one more for his dad. He'll get even better looks because Baylor is a lot longer, and they play that 1-3-1. They're a lot longer than Xavier. And I think Georgia State, they turned Baylor over 21 times. They lead the nation in turnover margin. So I got Georgia State over Xavier, and the 14 advances to the dance, to the Sweet 16.
Well, you know what's funny is when you look at these teams, the Musketeers and the Panthers, did you know they were the Georgia State Panthers?
Yes.
Ah, So these teams are pretty evenly matched. I'm looking at their stats now. They score Xavier 73 a game, Georgia State 71. They shoot 47% from the field. They shoot 72% from the line, and then Xavier shoots a little bit better from three, but not much. So this game is very, very close. I got to think that with Xavier's ability to go inside and outside and score in two or three areas of the court, I think they're going to give Georgia State a little too much to handle. I'm not sure about the injuries. I'm not sure if Georgia State's going to be at full strength. So I got to go in a close game, though. I got to go with Xavier.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing I would say about Xavier is that they showed no matter what, they're going to play 40 minutes. So, you know, that's the good thing about it. As fans, we're in for a treat no matter, you know, who wins. So let's keep it moving. I can't wait for all these games. So then this is what's interesting because NC State, repping the ACC, the undefeated ACC, had a storming comeback against a talented LSU team. And I was nervous because I got NC State actually upsetting Villanova, and I thought LSU was going to hold on to win that game. So that was a great comeback from NC State. But I got to say, and a shout out to our boy, Kerry Kittles, and all the Villanova folks out there, stand up. I think Villanova is on fire, and they're going to beat NC State, even though I didn't pick them. They feel disrespected. I think this is the tournament of the Wildcats, Ray. So Villanova, I think, will win a close game against NC State.
I believe you're right. I think that this kid, Archer Diacono, the co-player of the year in the Big East, plus his compadres. Yeah, exactly. He's got some thugs that he's rolling with,
Jay
right?
Wright,
he's got
the players.
Yes, sure. He's got Ochefu, he's got some size, and he's got Hilliard, he's got Hart. He's got a team that can really, you know, give a team that's right there on the margin with talent a little chip on their shoulder. You might have something there. So I like Villanova. I think they're going to – at first I thought that they might lose early, but they look pretty good. They look tough. So I like this Villanova team. I think they win. I actually think they win easily over NC State. NC State's lucky to be there. LSU should have won that game.
They sure should have. And, you know, but it's nice to see the ACC and the Big East doing well again. You know, because everybody was talking about the middle of the country with the Big 12 and the Big 10, but it looks like it's the Pac-12, ACC, and Big East that are shining so far. So the next game, this is going to be fascinating, and I gotta laugh because this is I did not know this, but Utah against Georgetown, 5-4, but I didn't realize that Josh Smith. Is the big guy that I loved a couple years ago from UCLA, and he's at Georgetown. And that right there is going to be the difference maker. Smith, Rivera, Georgetown has veterans. I like this Utah team. I think the Pac-12 teams in general are solid and could all wind up winning again to go 8-0 instead of just 4-0. But this one, I'm actually going to go with the Hoyas, baby. Bring back Georgetown.
Big really?
Josh.
Nah,
yeah.
Man. I'm going with our boy, Larry Krystowiak.
I know. Krystowiak's no joke. I like Utah.
Oh, that's my man. No, I'm going with Utah, playing in that Pac-12. I think Georgetown, the thing with Georgetown is they keep games close.
Yeah,
and they're that hard-nosed defensive team, you know, a la Virginia. Wisconsin doesn't play as great defense as they historically have played this season, but that's the type of team that they are. And you know what? I don't know. I think that Utah's got a little something for them, a little special, and I think Georgetown's going to have a hard time playing from behind. So if they get behind, they don't really score
as fluidly
as some other teams, and they don't shoot as well as other teams. So, yeah, man, I'm going with Larry Krystowiak and the Utah Utes.
All right.
The two Utes.
Them Utes. What's up with them Utes? Now, this one right here is near and dear to our heart, and another four or five. It's so weird to even look at the screen, right, and see all these four or five matchups because we haven't had them in years. it's kind of like...
It's been 4-12.
Yeah, it's been, listen, and it's refreshing and back in the tournament, right? And even some 13s have won over the years, but this year it's 4-5. So Arkansas and Portis is the stud and playing good again for them against UNC. This one, to me, high scoring, both teams average in the 70s. It's going to be a run-and-gun game, but I like the Tar Heels' size, and I just think Bryce Johnson is – he's one of those kids that's making some money, him and Paige. They're going to advance through this tournament, and they're going to keep winning, and the Tar Heel guys are going to climb up the draft board. So I got North Carolina winning, you know, maybe 77, 73, something fun.
So I like Arizona. I thought that that game was closer than it really – I'm sorry, I like Arkansas. I thought that game was closer than it should have been.
Yeah.
The Arkansas Razorbacks really, you know, almost went down. I got to be honest. So did Carolina, too, to Harvard. But with a team of Quails and Portis, you have a pretty awesome front court. You're athletic. You can rebound. Portis was the player of the year in the SEC, obviously, because the Kentucky kids all, you know, share the love. But there's so much talent on that Kentucky team that no one player can be player of the year in the conference. But but so this kid, Bobby Portis, was the player of the year. Now, the only problem
he deserved
is,
it, be fair. He
did. No, he absolutely deserved it. You were talking about going pro, but, you know, obviously Kentucky's got five of the top 50 players in the country on that team.
Did you know that Kentucky, they might have 9 guys that actually play in the NBA from this team? That's crazy.
That is crazy. and by the way, their sophomore leader or junior leader now got hurt in the beginning of the season, right?
Oh,
Alex Poitras.
Yeah, he would be 10.
Yeah, he's a role player in the NBA, but he's like an Anthony Bonner type, you know, good, solid player that could, you know, maybe a Joey Dorsey. But anyway, so you've got Qualls and Portis for Arkansas. The only problem is Carolina has so much depth in the front court that between the athleticism of Tokido and the size of Johnson, who's a little thin, but he's still tall, and Meeks and Johnson, I mean, it's too much. It's too much. So you're going strength on strength. I think Carolina takes care of business. Even though they do press, and they did a great job of handling the Arkansas press. You know, that's dating back to that 40 minutes of hell.
Yeah.
You know, back in the days. So that's Mike Anderson is, you know, continuing that tradition. But so I give credit to Wofford. They did
nobody,
a great job.
Nobody's Nolan Richardson, baby.
Yeah, no, nobody's Nolan Richardson. But the point is that they're going to try and turn Carolina over. And for the most part, Paige is really the only true, you know, ball handler on that team.
He turned the ball over too much for the season.
So,
that's what messed up, remember, Carolina in the ACC championship against Notre Dame, the turnover. So that's a good point, and we could definitely see that, you know, happening. So now let's go over to Sunday's games because it's going to be interesting. So you've got – you tip off Michigan State against UVA. We both have multiple brackets with this, either one winning. You know, I feel the magic of Izzo. But for some reason, Anderson's getting healthy, and UVA looks like they're starting to find out a way to score. And I'm going to go with UVA. I don't know what it is. I think UVA is going to win this one. Because this is – remember, Izzo was mad even at the end of this game when they won the other day because this team makes a lot of bonehead mistakes.
Terrible execution down the stretch.
Yeah, terrible execution and lack of clock awareness and just, you know, they foul when they shouldn't. I mean, weird things that, you know, so even though you like Valentine and Dawson, some of the other guys are not fitting into the role that, you know, Mateen Cleaves and Jason Richardson and the scrappers over the years usually have done, Adrian Payne. So I'm going to take UVA in this one. Not like it's an upset, right? They're the 2 seed, but I'm just going with UVA.
I'm going with Michigan State. I think you throw Travis Trice in there, And then you've got the upperclassmen and the veterans in Valentine and Dawson.
Well,
which
if
is
he
a,
plays like he did, now Trice hasn't been playing like that, but if he plays like he did the other game, yeah, because he's
right.
a beast. Yeah,
he is a beast. You know, he's their leading scorer. And I tell you what, Brandon Dawson as a senior needs to step up and really impose his will. And he might be able to do some of that against Virginia. Again, a great defensive team, but rise to the occasion. I think that Michigan State is everybody's worst nightmare in the sense that you can't
you
get rid of
play.
Them. And a Virginia team, even though they scored a fair amount, typically they don't run away from you. So it's going to be a close game. And you know what? I'll take Tom
fight.
Izzo down the stretch. I like the Spartans to win this game.
Playing on my emotions, man. Don't mention his name, Izzo. I got too much respect for that guy. So San Diego State, and we say and we bid adieu and say goodbye to our boys, St. John's, the Red Storm. You know, they just didn't have enough last night. And did you know D'Angelo Harrison, he leaves St. John's as the third all-time leading scorer. So, you know, props to St. John's. You know, it wasn't a year without a what's his name? A Bekpe. They couldn't.
The big
they
fella,
needed, yeah, they needed him to win. So San Diego State against Duke. The San Diego State fans at the end were like, we want Duke. I'm like, no, you don't.
No, you don't. Not this year.
Let me tell you, this Duke team, when you got Jones, Winslow, Cook, Plumlee is learning how to be a double-double machine and maturing. And then you got Okafor, even though they don't have the bench. You know, Suleiman's not there anymore.
Right.
And
Suleiman hurt them. That depth would have been really good.
That will hurt them either in the Final Four or the Finals. But right now, Duke is going to put it on San Diego State. And San Diego State, ladies and gentlemen, they are not the team that you saw last night. They don't normally score like that. So I take Duke in about 13-point blowout over San Diego State.
Yeah, 7 threes and what was it, 2 or 3 off the backboard.
Oh,
that's not
did
happening
you hear
again.
Did you hear our boy Steve Fisher? He was like, that was the best offensive San Diego State team I've ever seen.
That's funny.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, so I like Duke big. I think they win by 15 or 20. I think it's a blowout.
So now in the other potential best game, maybe of the tournament and of, you know, we talked about Michigan State, UVA, but then here, Wichita State, Kansas. When you talk about people waiting for this for years, I forgot when it was the last time they played. And when they played in the tournament, I think last, Wichita State won because it was our boys, Austin Carr
wow, that's going
that was,
back.
That was way back then. So Xavier number seven,
McDaniel, Benoit Benjamin.
Way, way back. So I'm actually going to go Wichita State because another gentleman that might play himself into the draft, my man Van Vliet. He is dropped 27, and him and Ron Baker, the shot maker, who didn't have a great game but still did the intangibles, Ray. I love that. And Perry Ellis is not really 100% yet. I think, no matter, and we know Kelly Oubre is a top 10 pick probably. He's nice, but not having Cliff Alexander, and I think just the emotion of the game, Wichita State is going to advance.
I got to agree with everything you said. I think that Kansas, this is a down year for Kansas. They are the weakest Kansas team, especially given that they're a two seed. They're the weakest Kansas team in a long time. They've had 8 or 9 losses and many of them at home. This is not your father's Kansas team. This is not even your Bill Self team. 13-5 in the Big 12. They usually run away with that conference. I agree. This tournament is typically a guard tournament, and you know what? I want Van Vliet and Baker. Those two have experience, and they had.
Oh my God, he's nasty.
Yeah, wow. Van Vliet is an 85% free throw shooter. Baker's a 77% free throw shooter. But down the stretch, these guys, if they go up,
no
then
fear.
Watch out. Yeah, I liked it. Marshall, the coach. I like Michigan.
Oh,
I like
great
Wichita State.
Great coach. Now we've
I'm
got
picking two number seven seeds.
There you go. Number 11, Dayton. Okay, the Flyers staying local in Columbus against number 3, Oklahoma. They went from Dayton to Columbus. They, listen, this is almost unfair. You know, their crowd is with them.
For an 11 seed, it's not like they're number one. Kentucky deserves to stay close to home, not Dayton.
Committee gets lazy with this pod stuff, and sometimes they just have to pay a little bit more attention. Dayton shouldn't have been at home in Dayton against Boise State. It wasn't fair, period. So
that's okay to me. I don't have a problem with that because before the season, you say there's one neutral site. It's almost like the Super Bowl is going to be in Arizona or the Super Bowl is going to be in Miami. You know what I mean? You've determined before the season that Dayton holds the play-in.
But guess what? They did not have to put them in that play-in game. They didn't have to put them. They could have put them instead of an 11 seed. How about putting them as a 12 or 13 if you don't, you know, if you think they're a last team or, you know, they're not a great seed, and then put them in another region. So that's what I'm
Fair
saying.
Enough.
They could have somebody else in there. So either way, I'm going with Oklahoma, giving the Big 12 some love, Saunders and the boys. I like the way Oklahoma plays. They could go to the Final Four. This is a good Oklahoma team. I don't think people realize how strong they are because the Big 12 was so balanced. So I'm going to take Oklahoma, although I love our boy Archie Miller and Dayton and Jordan Cyber.
I got to say, I've slept on Oklahoma. I saw them a few times. I thought they were middle-of-the-road Pac-12. But you know what? Middle-of-the-road Pac-12 is certainly...
Big 12. Yeah.
Keep saying Pac-12. Yeah, Big 12. Certainly good enough to advance in this tournament against Dayton. So I like their roster. I think that they do good enough work tomorrow, that they'll probably end up winning by, I'd say, 12 to 15. You know, their roster lets you feel pretty confident that this Dayton team, because they have your classic roster, right? They have your guy, your scorers, your shooters, your size. So I think they're too much. I go with you.
And Dayton,
I want to pick an 11.
They're going to be tired. Dayton's legs are not going to be fresh. They're going to be tired. They've had to push it.
Yeah. Oklahoma has four guys scoring in double digits, and Woodard scores 9 a game. So that's 5 guys that can score. That's going to stretch the Dayton Flyers too much. And I think that even though the game's in Columbus, which, you know, representing Dayton, I think Oklahoma's got too much. I think Bobby Hield has a great game. Maybe he scores for 25, and I think Oklahoma wins by 12 or 15.
Yeah. And Dayton will keep it close for a while, and then Oklahoma pull away. So now this is an interesting game. Iowa, who a lot of people were not picking, but they won, representing the Big Ten, against Gonzaga. I think Iowa is better than people think or know. But the Zags are way better than people know. I mean, the shots yesterday. It was amazing watching them and, you know, who were they playing? I was trying to come back, but North Dakota State was trying to come back, but Gonzaga, I love Sabonis' kid. And I remember you did a thing on him when we were talking about you're not ready, I think. And
yeah, he's a freshman.
People are not ready for just the whole Gonzaga roster, though. I like them, and I think it'll be close, and then they win by like 10 or 11. So I got to go with the Zags.
The Zags score 80 a game, so they can definitely score. The question for them is going to be...
Which is big, you know, in college basketball.
Yeah. The question for them is going to be, can somebody hold them? Can somebody contain their offense? And I'm not sure that in this round, and maybe even in this bracket, but certainly in this round, that Iowa's got that, right? And like I said, they're chomping at the bit. Hopefully they don't look ahead and think to themselves, we could beat the next team and then get to face Duke. But, yeah, I think this game, you know, Iowa had a nice little run. They, fair enough, did okay in the Big Ten. But I think that Gonzaga is an elite team. And they're a number 2 seed, but most of the year they were a number 1 seed, and they were undefeated.
Yeah.
They only lost twice. And yeah, they play out in Spokane, and people forget about them. But this is a good team.
This is the best Gonzaga team we've seen over the years. It's actually
probably
the most talented.
The most depth, and they don't have a weakness. You know, usually they were guard heavy, or they had one big man, but now they have everything. And this kid, I'm telling you, this kid Sabonis is the key.
They got shooter, size, point guard play. Now, look, Oregon against Wisconsin, 1-8. Joseph Young is going to have to go out of his mind, and he can do it. But I just think it's too much posse. Bo Ryan,
I like
Oregon. I think they're going to surprise people and play really well for probably to like 8 minutes left in the second half. And then Wisconsin's just going to pull away because Nizer and Frank the Tank and Decker and then Jackson starting to play. And Wisconsin.
Harris is, yeah.
Yeah. So Wisconsin.
I tell you what, Wisconsin, if they are right, they're one of those teams that if they're right.
Cut down the net.
They might be right behind Kentucky, you know.
Yes.
If they play their game, and these guys, you know, and everybody keeps saying it, and I think they're right, is that Nigel Hayes is really the wild card. You know
He's
what you're
going to
get out of Kaminsky. You know what you're going to get out of Decker. You know what you're going to get out of a healthy Trayvon Jackson, and you know the role players.
They're devastating that team.
When Nigel Hayes can shoot. And stretch, you know, and also get in there and bang and rebound a little bit, take some of the pressure off of Kaminsky. This is a dangerous team, probably, you know, right up there with Duke for the second best team in the country.
Did you know, Ray, they're playing on your favorite network, True TV?
You know,
you gotta love it.
I never heard of True TV before the tournament, but I'm down with True TV, man. I'm a fan.
When did this start, when they showed all the networks? Was this four or five years ago now? When this started, neither one of us, we were like, True TV, what's that? It's great.
I didn't even know where to find it on my roster. You know, I had to look on cable. I'm like, why? Time Warner, where is True TV?
I think it's been 6 years. This might be the sixth or seventh.
It's been 6 years already?
Well, listen, I've been in Arizona. 4 years, and it started before I left Arizona, so it's been at least 5 to 7 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Time flies when you're...
Just on a sidebar, we were watching the game, I told you, with a bunch of guys, so we talked about Bryce Drew in the Valpo game, because, by the way, they gave your Maryland, we're about to talk about Maryland in a sec,
yeah.
They gave your Maryland folks a run for the money. And he was like, oh, yeah, the Bryce Drew shot. I remember. What a great shot. It was about 5 or 6 years ago. I said, no, I think it was more like 15 years ago. And he was like, really? We looked it up. It was 1998 was the
Bryce. Homer
was
Drew.
The Bryce.
And guess what? That goes to R.J. Hunter and Ron Hunter because they called Homer Drew and said, is it good for your son to play for you in college? And he gave him the advice and said, yes, it can be special. So then he goes to Georgia State instead of another school, and then he beats, the coach, Homer Drew. That's great at Baylor.
Yeah.
So that's a great story. A great, great story. So now you have number 5, West Virginia, another 5-4 against my number 4, Maryland Terrapins. I'll say this. West Virginia and Maryland had some close calls, and they both advanced. This is great because it's another rivalry. This is one of our football rivalries where we used to be like, go back, go back, go back into the woods. And we set some other stuff out.
Oh, Lord.
But I can't say it. But let me tell you something. We leave the ACC. We come into the Big Ten. We were projected to be anywhere from 7 to 10 in the Big Ten. We finished 2nd. And I promise you, Des Wells, Melo Trimble, Layman, who didn't play a great game. We didn't even play a good game against
Fouled out, right?
Yes, but we had a couple guys foul out. Dodd fouled out. We're going to take care of West Virginia. Maryland will win. Yo, Terps! Period.
You know I like to stir the pot.
Oh, don't.
But
don't
I can't
do
it. But I can't do it right now. Not in this round.
No,
maybe in the next round. But no, I think so. I think you're right. I think this kid, Melo Trimble, looks... You know who reminds me of a little bit? He reminds me of, what was your boy from Temple?
Mark Macon.
Mark Macon. Shaking bacon, Mark Macon. Just that poise as a freshman. You know, he looks good. Now, granted, Mark Macon had a weird career, right? He had his best season, what is it called, 19-20 a game under John Chaney at Temple, which is hard to do. And then, you know, sophomore, junior year, he kept going down. And it's like he peaked as a freshman. But this kid just has something about him. And maybe with the name Melo, he can go
on
a run.
He had a double-double. He gets crazy rebounds. He's like Russell Westbrook. He gets double doubles and gets 10 rebounds a game, this guy. He's a beast.
I saw that. But that big three of Tremble, Wells, and Lehman, and then you got some more height.
Yeah. It's a good Maryland team. It's a good team.
This is a very good Maryland team. Yep, absolutely. So I like Maryland. Yeah, for sure.
Last game, another 5-4, Northern Iowa against Louisville. And I love Rick Pitino, Montrezl Harrell, Blackshear, Rozier, the guard. But you know what? Seth Tuttle, ladies and gentlemen, is my man. Northern Iowa is going to win this game. And they can't blow them out because Louisville plays great defense. And, you know, Blackshear and Harrell, you know, can you know, they're clutch. But Northern Iowa is going to win. They're a better team than Louisville. It's going to be a good
one. I agree. I think Northern Iowa shoots far better from every place on the court. Free throws, threes, they score better. So,
and did you see Tuttle like a point forward? Point, you know, he's like passing big guy. I love it.
I love the experience on Louisville, specifically with Blackshear, you know, from the national championship days, and Montrezl Harrell, you know, when he's on, he can be a pretty effective college player, and Rozier can score. But I just think that they make too many – they're a bad percentage shooting team. They can shoot themselves – now, they can shoot themselves to victory, but they can shoot themselves out of games. And UNI is more efficient, and as long as they don't turn it over, I think Northern Iowa wins and goes to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, you know, one thing you can guarantee, Ray, it is going to be so fun. Hey, a quick funny note with the NIT. I got to give a shout-out locally to ASU. They play at number one Richmond. They're number five. But Temple and Richmond are still alive, the two number one seeds in the NIT. It'll be fascinating to see who – I always like to see who wins the NIT and who, you know, makes it to the Garden, that Final Four or whatever. Give me one player that is going to kind of go out of their minds that not only is going to increase their draft stock, but could take a team not just to the Sweet 16, maybe the Elite Eight or Final Four. Somebody we're not, you know, really thinking about or talking about.
Wow.
As we close the show, just give me one.
Well, you know what? They're going to meet each other. But I'm thinking Jerian Grant from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you said Van Vliet already. So I think somebody coming out of their bracket is going to – you're either going to have potentially one of those two going up against the Kentucky team. Now, they'll probably lose, but they'll do well for themselves as, you know, guards, kind of combo guard in the case of Jerian Grant, but really learning how to play the point, and also Van Vliet, a scorer who can run a team, very efficient player. So I like those two. And the tournament historically has been a guards tournament, right, with the exception of a Carmelo Anthony and a Danny Manning that you remember, you know, forward. And ultimately, this game in college is geared towards the little guys, and so they can make a big splash in the tournament.
Yeah.
What do you got? Who you got? Don't say Mello Tremble. That's your boy. Give me somebody else.
You know, I'm gonna have to say, I mentioned him earlier, and he's not a guard, but he is on the Tar Heels, and it would be a major upset if they beat Wisconsin and could potentially face Arizona in the Elite Eight or to go to the Final Four. So I'm gonna say Bryce Johnson. I think Bryce was projected like 29 and, you know, late first round. I think he's going to take over, and I think he's going to do some things that are going to be clutch, and people will start to notice him, and he might move up the draft board a little bit. That's the one guy. And then I'd probably have to go with Northern Iowa and Seth Tuttle. I was really impressed. I think he might be able to do something. You know, I don't know how he projects to the NBA. And if not him, maybe Aaron White in Iowa. If Iowa ever upset Gonzaga and you had the big 6'9", you know, he plays like the 3-4 from Iowa. Aaron White, he's projected as a second-round pick. He could be somebody off, totally off the radar, that could not just make some money, But he could, you know, people be like, wait a minute, who the heck is this kid? You know what I mean? Nobody's talking about him. So just something, you know, fun to look for as you watch these games. You know, Ray and Tay, we try to give you a little bit of something. Always you got to look for, you know, the stars. Everybody knows about, like even on Arizona, everybody knows about Stanley Johnson. But check out Brandon Ashley. Probably a second-round pick in the NBA. Probably will make a team, right? You like his game. You can see him playing next year in the NBA. But he's also got enough talent that he, you know, him and Hollis Jefferson, they can really affect things where those two could be keys in them winning it all to beat Kentucky. As crazy as that could sound. But it's the Wildcats, baby. So, look, the madness is on. Enjoy it. Give me an update, Ray, before we sign off. What's UCLA?
Last time I was 39-32.
39-33. UCLA's up. So
yeah, they're about to hit the half. Probably be up.
Hey, Bill Walton, hope you're listening. Let's go UCLA, the Bruins, baby. All the famous Bruins and stuff. So everybody have fun. So we'll be back Monday evening to break it all down, discuss the Sweet 16. We'll get back to take a peek at the NBA standings. Our prayers go out to Durant, and we wish Paul George and his return coming back well. And, hey, like always, it's fun talking some sports with you, talking college hoops, right?
Yeah, we do have some fun talking sports. Join us on Monday. We'll talk a lot of college basketball. We'll weave some NBA, maybe if there's some breaking news in the other world of sports, in the football, baseball. We got to start talking about baseball. You know, we got baseball
preview,
about 10 days away.
Yep, our preview will be coming up. The season starts, what, Sunday, April 5th? And then everybody will play Monday, April 6th. So, you know, we'll either have the preview on that Friday or that Monday. You know, it's also wrapped around the championship. It's Monday, national championship. So we'll figure it out what show it will be, and we'll let you know. But tune in. Check us out on Twitter, Facebook, RayandTayToday.com. And like always, thanks for listening, and enjoy your sports, the rest of your sports weekend. And the road to the Final Four, Ray. Oh, let's do it.
Can't wait. All right, have a great sports weekend.
Don't talk!